We began this little, I guess you would call it a series, a couple of several weeks ago called Jesus Heals the Brokenhearted. Jesus Heals the Brokenhearted. And we talked last week about overcoming adversities. And you would agree here this afternoon that we all in life face different adversities, right?
Right.
What's an adversity? An adversity is an opposition. It's a hindrance. It's something that comes into your life to put you off track. But the good news this afternoon is that God has a plan, a purpose, and a destiny for each and every single one of us sitting here today. You know? And the enemy, the world system, would want to use adversity to put us off track with the destiny or for the destiny, for the purpose that God has for us. But we serve Jesus, God the Son, the miracle-working God, who is able to remove that adversity from our lives so that we can go on with God's plan for us. Amen?
Amen.
You know, God may have for you to be a teacher of the word one day. God may have for you to be an evangelist to a certain group of people one day. God may have you to be a nurse or a doctor or to own your own business so that you can advance the kingdom of God in your sphere of influence. He may have you to take a certain career path, a certain educational path. He has a special destiny in store for you. And you can't allow adversity to throw you off track. You've got to stick close to God through the thick and the thin. Now, let's talk about some of the Bible heroes this afternoon who overcame adversity. Some of the Bible heroes that overcame adversity. How many here remember Job in the Old Testament? The Bible tells us in Job 1:1 that he was an upright man. He was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. And as you read Job 1, you see that Satan was roaming the earth to find somebody who would turn their back on God if everything were taken from them. So basically, God says to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? So what did Satan go about doing in Job's life? He went about throwing some adversities into his life, right? He took just about everything from Job. He took his children. He took his possessions. He tried to do what with Job? He tried to get Job off track in his walk with God. His wife told him, Job, just curse God and die. And Job said no. Job pressed through the adversity.
Amen.
You agree with that? In Job 13:15, Job says this, though he slay me, yet will I hope in him. We all face adversity, friends, just like Job. Your adversity may be the loss of a relationship. It may be the loss of a loved one. It may be the loss of a career or a job. The enemy would try to put you off track with the destiny that God has for you. Guess what? The enemy would try to do with you what he did with Job, to get you off track in your walk with God. But like Job, we've got to say, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. We've got to stick close to God, friends. And we find out that at the end of Job, God blessed him, right? With double everything he had at the beginning. He blessed him tremendously. So Job was a hero who pressed through adversity, right? Who was another Bible hero who overcame adversity? Another Bible hero that we all know about who overcame adversity. That's it. Paul the Apostle. His name was Saul, right? Saul did what at one time? He murdered Christians, right? And he had a conversion experience. His name was changed from Saul to Paul. What was God's destiny for Paul the Apostle? You can find it in Galatians chapter 2, verse 7. Paul's destiny was to preach the gospel to the Gentiles and to set churches up in Asia Minor. If anybody had reasons to quit when adversity came against him, guess who it was? It was Paul the Apostle. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians, if you have a Bible, chapter 11. If not, I'll read it to you. Verse 21. This is what Paul writes to the Corinthians. What anyone else dares to boast about, I am speaking as a fool. I also dare to boast about. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they Abraham's descendants? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I am out of my mind to talk like this. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin and I do not inwardly burn? Now, if anybody faced adversity and opposition, who was it? Paul the Apostle. Paul the Apostle, right? But he knew his destiny from God. As I said earlier, right? What was God's purpose and plan for Paul? To preach the gospel to the Gentiles. To establish churches in this area called Asia Minor. The enemy tried to get Paul off track in his walk with Jesus Christ. But Paul did not quit because the greater one was living on the inside of him, Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen?
Another hero, Bible hero, who overcame adversity. We all know about him. Who is it? Jesus Christ, God the Son. What was Jesus' destiny? Jesus said in Luke 19:10, the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Jesus Christ was born to die so that we could live forever in heaven with Him one day, right? That was His destiny, was to die on the cross so that we could be saved from sin and from hell. And you know what, friends? Jesus faced adversity. Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, what did Jesus do? Matthew 26. If you have a Bible, you can turn there. Or I will read it to you. Matthew chapter 26. In the garden, he was praying to God before the crucifixion. In verse 39, he says this. Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." What cup was Jesus talking about? He said, "My Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me." The cup of suffering at the cross. The adversity, the biggest adversity that Jesus faced was what? Was the cross. But how did he overcome that adversity? He was crucified brutally by the Romans, right? He was buried in a grave, right? But the way Jesus overcame that adversity called the cross was that he rose again on the third day. And is now seated at the right hand of God the Father. He rose again. He fulfilled his destiny of dying for us and ascending back to the Father so that we could be saved one day, right? Jesus overcame adversity. If he did it, so can we. What does the Word of God say? If anyone claims to live in Jesus Christ, he must walk as Jesus walked. The walk of Jesus was a walk of what? It was a walk of perseverance. A walk of not quitting when things got tough. It's in 1 John 2. We'll be reading from there a little later on. 1 John 2. I'll read it to you. 1 John 2, 6. Whoever claims to live in Him must walk as Jesus did. And I'm going to say it again this afternoon. God has got a destiny, a purpose, and a plan for you. You know, in our Christian walk with God, with Jesus, we will face some mountaintop experiences, some good times. It feels good getting to the top of a mountain, right? You've accomplished this mountain, this great feat. You've gotten to the top of the mountain. But you know, in our walk with God, in our walk with Jesus, we're going to have some valley experiences, some low times, some hard times, some adversities, some opposition that we will face. The question is this: will you persevere through the adversity, through the opposition? Will you overcome what the enemy is trying to throw across your path? Say it with me this afternoon. I will overcome the adversity, the opposition that Satan and the world system will try to throw across my path. I will fulfill the plan and the destiny that God has for me. In Jesus' name. God has a destiny for each of us, as I said, just as He had for each of the Bible heroes that we just talked about. Now the question is this: how do we overcome? How do we know that we can overcome adversity? It's simple. Number one, by being born again. It is saving faith in Jesus Christ that overcomes the world and its system. 1 John 5, verses 3 through 5. This is love for God, to obey His commands, and His commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. First and foremost, how do we overcome the world system of adversity and opposition? The world system of lust. The world system of pride. How do we overcome it?
The Word.
By saving faith in Jesus Christ. By saving faith in Jesus Christ. You know, a great minister once said this. He said that becoming a Christian is the work of a moment. When you said, "Jesus, be my Savior," if you were to die at that moment, you would have gone to heaven. Being a Christian is the work of a moment. Becoming a Christian is the work of a moment. Becoming a Christian is the work of a moment. Being a Christian is the work of a lifetime. How do you, if you would, be a Christian? How do you live a Christian life, a holy life? By making Jesus not only Savior, but by making Jesus also Lord. What does Lord mean? Lord means ruler. Lord means the one in charge. Jesus wants to be in charge of every part of your life. And as you grow in your Christian walk with God, with Jesus, you make Jesus Lord more and more over your life as the days and the weeks and the months go by. He wants to be Lord, the one in charge over your thoughts. Jesus Christ wants to be the Lord, the one in charge over what you do with your body. Jesus wants to be Lord, the one in charge over your spirit. The question tonight is this, friends. Is what you're doing with your mind, your body, and your spirit pleasing to Jesus? Is He Lord over every part of your life? This is the victory that overcomes the world. Faith in Jesus, making Him Savior and
Lord.
Remember, becoming a Christian is the work of a moment. Being a Christian is the work of a lifetime. It takes a lifetime to make Jesus Lord over every part of our existence. Think of your life this way, friends. Think of your life like an automobile with a steering wheel, right? At this point, you may be in charge of your own life. You may be in the driver's seat of your life. You may be the one in control, but there's someone else that wants to be in complete control of your life. And who is that? Jesus Christ. So what do we need to do? We need to slide over to the passenger side and say, Jesus, take the driver's seat of my life. Take control of my life. Be the Lord over every part of my life. Drive this automobile called me. Does that make sense? Look at 1 John 4, verse 4. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. You see, when you made Jesus Lord and you put him in the driver's seat of your life, guess what? Jesus Christ, the overcomer, came to live on the inside of you. So when you said, Jesus, be my Savior and my Lord, the one in full charge of every part of my life, the overcomer, Jesus Christ, took residence on the inside of you. Who's the overcomer? The ultimate overcomer. It's Jesus Christ, right? And who does he live inside of? He lives inside of me. He lives inside of you. He lives inside of us. Right? Romans 8:11, Paul writes this. Very interesting scripture. Romans 8, verse 11. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you. When Jesus the overcomer is living in you, the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead lives on the inside of you as well. So guess what? If Jesus is living on the inside, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives on the inside of you. So guess what? If Jesus is your Lord, you have got overcoming power on the inside of your heart, on the inside of you. Say it with me tonight. I have got overcoming power on the inside of me, because Jesus Christ is my Lord. The one who lives on the inside of me is overcoming the world on the outside of me. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, with Jesus, the overcoming, living on the inside, with the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead living on the inside, guess what? You can overcome the world system. And John, in the same epistle that we were reading from, defines what the world system is all about in 1 John 2:16. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, pride, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The enemy would try to use the world system, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life to do what? To try to get you off track in your walk with Jesus Christ. He's out to destroy people's souls. Right? Try to use the world system, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life as adversity to get us off track with God. Right? But the greater one lives on the inside of us, right? So whenever he tries to do that, what do? We call on the blood of Jesus. When you accepted Jesus as Savior and Lord, you were covered with the blood of Jesus. Your mind was covered with the blood of Jesus. Your spirit was covered with the blood of Jesus. Your body was covered with the blood of Jesus. Revelation 12, verse 11, it says how they overcame the accuser, the enemy. This is how they overcame him. It says in Revelation 12:11, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. The blood of Jesus Christ has power in it. When the enemy tries to throw adversity into your life, a temptation, a lust of the flesh, looking at something with your eyes that you should not be looking at. When he tries to throw some pride into your life, what do you do? Call on the blood of Jesus. Plead the blood of Jesus. There is power in the blood, and the enemy and the world system will have to flee from you. You know, I've got a friend who's a missionary to India. And some years ago, he was telling me a story. in this orphanage that he works at, that he pretty much runs, he and his wife. He said that a little child came up full of a demon. This child had a demon in it, right? Adversity, trying to disrupt the other children. And certain people prayed for this child, and the demon would not leave. But the greater one lives on the inside of my friend. So he went up to this little child and said to the demon, "In the name of Jesus, I command you to go out." And immediately, that demon left the child. Friends, guess what? If we've got that relationship with Jesus Christ, if the greater one, Jesus Christ, is in the driver's seat of our life, guess what? We can do the same thing. We can call on the blood of Jesus. We can use the name of Jesus and say, "Satan, I rebuke you. Leave now." And he'll have to flee. I was in India back in, I think it was 1999. And I became very sick. I had a temperature, a fever that was just sky high. My body felt like it was on fire. And so I said, "I call on the name of Jesus. I command this fever and this sickness to leave me." And friends, I kid you not, within hours that night, this high fever left my body. I was completely healed. I was there in India to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. That was God's plan for me at that time. The enemy tried to throw adversity into my path, sickness. But guess what? The greater one, the overcomer, lives on the inside of me. So I called on Jesus. I called on the blood of Jesus. And the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead gave me that overcoming power to overcome that sickness. If he did it for me, he can do it for all of you. I told this story last week. I'll repeat it again for those who weren't here. Again, I was in South India doing evangelistic work, and we had this meeting of 250 or 300 people. And it was a meeting I was preaching the gospel, something that I love to do. And all at once, at the very front of the row, there was this lady who became like a snake. She started to writhe like a snake to disrupt the meeting. What was that? That was opposition from the devil trying to disrupt the gospel from going forth, right?
Right.
So what did I do? I said, I just stopped in the middle of my gospel sermon. I said to that lady, "In the name of Jesus," or to the demon, I said, "Demon, you come out of that lady in Jesus' name." And guess what? Immediately, she became calm. That demon had to leave. Why? Because I have overcoming power on the inside of me, because the greater one, Jesus Christ, lives on the inside. He's my Savior and my Lord, the one in charge of my life. That same overcoming power lives on the inside of you. You've got to develop that relationship with Jesus by making him Lord, the one in charge over every part of your life. Another way to overcome the opposition of the world and of the enemy is to remind the enemy of the word of your testimony. And they overcame him how? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Tell him, "Satan, the God who delivered me in the past, will deliver me again." So you can't torment me with fear. You can't torment me with worry. The same God who delivered me in the past will deliver me again. That is the word of my testimony. Amen. You know, you may have faced a financial need in the past, and maybe God came through for you miraculously. Whether it be a month ago, a year ago, 5 years ago, and maybe you're facing a similar financial need today. What do you use to overcome the enemy's torment of fear? The word of your testimony. "Satan, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. Fear, I rebuke you. The God who did a miracle for me in the past financially will do it for me again." Guess what? David, the king of Israel, did this. Let's turn, if you have a Bible, to 1 Samuel 17. David was facing a giant, a major opposition. What was that giant's name? It was Goliath. And Saul, at that time, king of Israel, was trying to make David fearful. He was trying to fill him with fear. "David, you have no experience as a fighter. You can't face this giant." He was trying to oppose David with fear, right? To try to stop him. But let's look at what David says to Saul in 1 Samuel 17. He says, "Saul, your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. Now listen to this, verse 37, here's the key, and this is what you've got to tell the enemy when he tries to throw opposition at you. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. That was the word of David's testimony. The God who delivered me in the past from the lion and the bear will deliver me from Goliath. And then Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. That was David's destiny. That was part of God's plan for David, was to defeat Goliath. That was part of God's plan for him. And the enemy through Saul tried to sow fear into David's mind. David, you're just a young boy. You've got no fighting experience. You can't do this. But David said, you know what? I'm going to use the word of my testimony. The God who delivered me in the past will deliver this Goliath giant into my hands this day, and he will fall. Friends, we've got to do the same thing. That's a weapon in our arsenal, is the word of our testimony. When the enemy tries to throw fear and worry at you, well, you know what? This need won't be met. This financial need won't be covered. You won't get this healing in your body. You tell him, Satan, I rebuke you by the word of my testimony. The God who did it for me in the past is the God who will do it for me again. And guess what? The enemy will have to flee. Does that make sense? Here this afternoon. Okay. Another way to overcome the adversities of the world and the enemy is to quote the Word of God. Remember Jesus in the wilderness. He was fasting, right? 40 days and 40 nights. That was God's plan for him at that time. We read about it in Matthew chapter 4, right? Enemy said to him in Matthew 4:3, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. And what did Jesus do in verse 4? It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Verse 5 again, he tempts him a second time. The devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. What did Jesus do in verse 7? He quoted the word of God again. It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. And what did Jesus do again in verse 10? Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And then what does it say? The key verse, verse 11. Then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended him. One of the biggest weapons we have against the opposition of the enemy, one of the biggest weapons we have in overcoming the adversity of the enemy is what? It's the Word of God, the written Word of God. So that when the enemy tries to throw some opposition across your path, what do you do like Jesus did? You quote the Word of God, but to quote the Word of God to the enemy, what do you have to do? You've got to have the Word of God on the inside. And in order to have the Word of God on the inside, that means you've got to be doing what with the Word of God? You've got to be reading and studying the Word of God on a daily basis. Every day, not just once on Monday and then the next Monday and the Monday after that, but on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You may not have a lot of time to read the Word, but at least read two or three scriptures. Read a chapter out of Psalms, out of John, out of Genesis. Try to read the Word of God on a daily basis so that when he tries to throw the opposition called fear across your path, what do you do? You just say, the Word of God says, Satan, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. When he tries to throw opposition at you and say, you know what, you're not going to overcome this hurdle, tell him the Word of God says that the greater one lives on the inside of me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Satan, that's what the Word of God says. Amen. And when you quote the word to him, he's got to do what? He's got to flee. So one of the major ways that we overcome the adversities of the devil is by quoting the Word of God. Right. And guess what, friends? One last thing. God has in store for you to be in relationship and partnership with someone.
That's right.
To accomplish a certain plan for you. Whatever that might be.
Amen.
Person once said that nobody is an island unto himself. God has called you to be in relationship with someone.
Amen.
To accomplish a certain thing for his kingdom. And the enemy would try to use what to stop that? He would try to use bitterness and unforgiveness to break you apart from the person that God had planned for you to be in relationship with to accomplish his destiny for your life. Does that make sense? So how do you overcome the enemy in that area when he tries to get you bitter against that person? You decide to forgive in Jesus' name, just as God forgave you, forgave me of our offenses against him.
Amen.
Forgiveness is a weapon against the enemy's adversities.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Just one final scripture here. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And it says this. Verse 32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Remember, God has got someone in store for you to be in partnership with to accomplish a certain task,
Amen.
A certain mission, a plan, a destiny. And it's the enemy's tactic to throw bitterness and unforgiveness into your path against that person so that you're broken apart from that person and cannot accomplish what God has called you to accomplish. But the way to overcome the enemy in that area is to do what?
Yeah.
Simply forgive that person. Just let it go. Release that person of the debt that you feel they owe you. And friends, guess what? The overcomers are those eventually who come to the end of their life. And though the enemy tried to throw opposition and adversity across their paths, they never left God. They stayed close to Jesus Christ. Friends, those are the true overcomers. Those like Job who remain faithful to Jesus. Faithful to God when it got really, really tough in their lives. You come to your last dying breath and you said, Jesus, I love you.
Amen.
Though it was tough in my walk with you, I haven't left you. And your last breath on this earth then will be your first breath in glory. Those are the overcomers in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, there may be an area in your life this afternoon where you're needing to overcome. Maybe the enemy, maybe the world system has thrown some opposition into your path. You're needing power to overcome. The first way to do that, friends, is to make Jesus your Savior and your Lord, the one in charge of your life.